spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. And fans, do we have a treat for you. I just spent a few minutes interviewing Bill over at canesinsight.com. And it was a great opportunity to get some perspective, some insight on the Miami Hurricane team. And I think they have a lot of talent, a lot of youth, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. I know we're not supposed to like Miami because, you know, the Alabama sort of tension. But this is a team, a young team, an energetic team with a nice young head coach. That I think is going to be really fun to watch. Now, Saturday against Alabama, we know where my loyalties are, and we know that I believe Alabama is going to win that game. The 18.5 spread, that's a big number, especially as many questions as I still think we have in an opening week. It's possible, but I don't know how probable it is. But nonetheless, this is an exciting Miami team. And the interview with Bill was a really good discussion. I had six or seven questions or topics or areas that we spent time with, and he walked through their roster, players to watch, and it was really insightful. So I'm going to turn this over to that interview, and then I'll come back and wrap up at the end. All right, here we go. Interview time. Welcome back, Alabama Football Podcast fans. We got a treat for you tonight. We've got Bill with Canes Legacy Twitter, canesinsight.com, joining us tonight. Talk a little bit of Miami Hurricanes coming up before game. Bill, happy football season.
Oh, happy football season to you, too. It feels like Christmas Eve.
It does, doesn't it? Hey, I've got some fun things to run down. Tell our fans a little bit about the upcoming matchup with Miami. And, you know, why don't we jump right in? How would you, from your perspective with your outlets, how would you characterize really the excitement or the expectation level across, you know, the Hurricane, call it fanscape, you know, returning 19 starters? There's transfers that have come in, some talented recruits. I think I'm really excited for you guys, not Saturday, but maybe beyond. But really building off an 8-3 program, there's got to be a lot of excitement on the ground there in Dade County.
Yeah, there is. It feels like for the first time in a long time, you know, we've turned the corner as a program. You know, like you said, we're returning 19 starters. You know, a lot of talent coming in through the transfer portal. Miami's kind of been at the forefront of that. So expectations are high. A lot of fans, you know, they don't go into a game expecting to lose, but I think we're a little bit more realistic this time for Saturday coming up. But, you know, for the season, you know, there's no reason for this team not, you know, to have a good chance to win the Coastal. You know, we got North Carolina to deal with as well, but expectations are high. You know, De'Ara King coming back pretty much as that super senior. That's a game changer. You know, if it wasn't for him, we'd be rolling out a redshirt freshman that, you know, there'd probably be a lot more question marks, but, you know, expectations are high. My expectations are high for them. And I think it's going to be a really fun season for Miami.
Absolutely. We'll talk about De'Ara King, you know, heartbreaking injury there in the bowl game. I hate to see anybody get injured, but right there in a bowl game that you could argue, what, you know, relatively speaking, what that means. Any concerns over his, it's a quick turnaround to get injured in December and then to be suiting up here first part of September, you know, for live action. Any sort of concerns, or has there been any, you know, pacing him in fall camp?
So no concerns, actually. You know, throughout his rehab process, it's always come out that he's been ahead of schedule. And, you know, I always take kind of those things with a grain of salt because you don't really see it with your own two eyes. But once fall camp started and, you know, the media got eyes on him and, you know, some of our insiders, you know, talked to people around the program, turned no holding him back, no brace. You know, he was out there full speed, you know, in some of the scrimmages. Obviously it wasn't contact, but, you know, he was pulling and, you know, pulling that read option, taking off with it. And, you know, by all accounts, he's explosive as ever. So, you know, when it first happened, I was very concerned, but, you know, after, you know, going through fall camp and seeing that he hasn't been limited at all, you know, that's really good news for him. And you know, I'm really happy for him because he's such, you know, he's a really, you know, good teammate, you know, good player, good all around guy. So, you know, I'm really happy for him and, you know, just as excited for us that, you know, he's going to give us an exciting season.
Absolutely. Are you guys sending birthday cards and Christmas cards to Daniel Holgorsen? I mean, I think if he hadn't redshirted in his fourth year at Houston, right, he'd be out of college.
Yeah, he. Yeah, that was a weird situation that, you know, he played a couple games early that year, and then, you know, they weren't winning, and him and a few others, you know, decided to take the redshirt and come back, and they didn't.
And he left.
So, yeah, we're excited to have him. You know, we've struggled at times with, you know, the quarterback position, amongst other things, you know, the past, you know, 15 years or so. And, you know, him and the addition of Rhett Lashley, you know, coming in together, you know, pretty much turned around the fortunes on the offensive side of the ball.
I agree. Well, let's talk about the offensive line up front. Is this the offensive line that Miami fans have been looking for?
Yes. You know, we finally have some experience. We have some size. So I'll kind of just go position by position. So at left tackle, Zion Nelson came into Miami in 2019. He was a two-star recruit committed to Appalachian State. You know, flipped to us. Everyone assumed he was going to be, you know, this big project 2-3 years down the road. But, you know, we recruited poorly. We've developed poorly. And he had to start as a true freshman. I don't know if you remember, he's Florida to open the 2019 season. He took an absolute beating, and that pretty much continued throughout the year. But, you know, credit to him, he stuck with it. He never, you know, lost confidence, really transformed his body, put on weight, and he has a legitimate chance to be a first round tackle, whether this year draft or, you know, next year. I think Todd McShay had him as like the fifth pick in his draft, right, his mock draft right after this past draft. And then moving down to we'll slide over to right tackle. So Miami just released their depth chart today. And the one surprise was DJ Scaife starting over Jared Williams. Jared Williams is a super, super senior. He had a medical red shirt and then took advantage of this. So he's actually a seventh-year guy. So we kind of joke around saying he's the Van Wilder of Miami right. offensive linemen. But DJ Scaife, you know, fourth-year guy. He played right tackle his first 2 years on campus. Couple of games as a true freshman, started as a sophomore, kicked inside last year, and he's just not a natural guard. He lacks kind of that strength, even though he has a guard body. So he's going to be starting over at right tackle. And then for guards, we have two new starting guards this year, even though Navon Donaldson isn't a new starter. He got hurt 2 years ago in rehab last year. Played a little bit towards the end of last year, so it was good to see him get back. He's kind of been a very heavy, you know, kind of sloppy guy, and he's really toned down. He's still a big guy, but yeah, he's really got his body right because his, you know, time for the NFL is coming up. So he's going to be the starter at right guard. And then at left guard, we have a redshirt freshman in Jalen Rivers. Yeah, he was a pretty high level recruit out of the Jacksonville area, and he's a people mover. So we went from having essentially two 300-pound guards last year to Jalen Rivers, who's in that 320-330 range, and Donaldson, who's 330, 340. And, you know, if you know anything about Rhett Lashley, he likes to run the ball. He likes to run the ball up the middle. So we finally have some, you know, beef up front that, you know, can hopefully help out that run game.
Rivers carries Corey Gaines, well. Rivers carries his weight very well. He looks like he could either put on or he could step outside. He looks like maybe he's got that footwork.
Yeah, we saw when he first got here last year, we saw him take some reps at right tackle. And he moves very well for a big guy. He carries it well. But I think it's just easier for him to start inside. It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up at right guard. Right tackle.
Yeah.
You know, next year, the year after, depending on our needs. But and then just to round that out, Corey Gaynor, multi-year starter, kind of that cerebral guy in the middle. Lacks certain physical tools. He can get pushed around a bit, but we're hoping, you know, that he's really hit the strength program and, you know, kind of developed that part. But you know, he's just kind of that steady presence in the middle.
Right. Right. No, the line looks like it's really coming together. That's going to be fun to watch, see that gel for you guys this season. What about the skill personnel? Sounds like a lot of opportunity at wide receiver, a lot of talent come in. There's certainly the transfer from Oklahoma. And walk us through sort of who to look for at running back and tight end as well.
So we'll start at receiver. So big position of struggle last year, D. Wiggins, Mark Pope, pretty sure they had to have led the country in drops. They didn't create separation. You know, they're very skinny, lean receivers, got pushed around. Clemson really highlighted that. But the good news for Miami is they're now second team. D. Wiggins is listed as the second team, and Mark Pope wasn't even listed in the two deep. Mm-hmm. So we've upgraded. You mentioned the transfer. That's Charleston Rambo from Oklahoma. he comes in, he's probably going to be the number one threat on the outside. Then you have Mike Hart going to be working out of the slot. He was our leading receiver last year. Fast guy, will do most of his damage, in the middle of the field. Not really a true deep threat, even though he has speed, which is kind of a, I guess, an oxymoron. But and then the one name to know that probably Alabama fans probably haven't even heard of, his name is Keyshawn Smith. He's a second year guy out of California who's actually committed to Mike Leach at Washington State. And then when Leach went to Mississippi State, he looked around and landed at Miami. Nice. So he got on the field a little bit as a true freshman, and he was one of the only receivers to kind of create separation downfield. He actually drew a couple pass interferences, which hurt his stat line. His stat line isn't impressive if you look it up, but he's a guy that could probably make some plays and everyone's gonna be like, oh, who's that guy? He's listed as a starter, and we've all kind of been waiting for him to elevate his game. Tight end Will Mallory, probably going to be an NFL guy. He's been playing kind of second fiddle to Brevin Jordan the last few years, but he's a big athletic guy. He can really run when the ball's in his hands. He can make guys miss. He can use his strength, bowl over them. And I expect him to be in consideration for the Mackey Award at the end of the year.
Fantastic. What about running back? It looks like Cameron Harris is going to be the lead, but I saw a couple places where it might be a committee. What's your thought?
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being a committee. We had Cam Harris last year. He's really kind of stocky built. Had quite a few explosive plays, but we had two talented true freshmen last year. I got some reps in Jalen Knight and Don Chaney. Don Chaney is by far the most physically gifted back on the roster. He's dealt with some injuries, but he was a guy that Miami fans have known since the eighth grade. Just dominating. Optimist ball, and he's starting as a true freshman or as a freshman in high school, and he's just a human highlight reel. I expect it to be a committee. Chaney's just kind of working his way back in, so I don't know if he's going to be a full 100% for Bama come Saturday, but I expect Cam to get the load, and then you'll see Knighton and Chaney kind of get carries here and there.
Well, let's flip the field and talk defense. Miami and Manny Diaz run an attacking 4-3 scheme. It looks like, trying to read the tea leaves, right, you guys are replacing two first-round defensive ends. That's a little bit of a hit there. Linebacker last year may not certainly have been a strength, but defensive tackle, looks like there's some depth and capability there. Do you think this is sort of an emerging unit in the front seven, or is it maybe patchwork? How would you characterize the front seven?
Defensive tackle, I'm confident in. We have four experienced bodies: Nessa Silvera, John Ford, Jared Harrison Hunt, and who am I forgetting there? Hunt, Ford, Jordan Miller. Four experienced bodies, and then a true freshman, Leonard Taylor, who's a five-star recruit. And by all accounts, he's lived up to the billing, so I consider us to be five deep at defensive tackle. The concern is on the edges at defensive end. We lost Jalen Phillips, first-round pick to the Dolphins. We lost a seventh-round pick in Quincy Roche as well, and then Greg Rousseau, who opted out last year because of COVID. He still went in the first round. So Miami's done really well at defensive end since Manny Diaz since he's been here, even as the defensive coordinator. I think this year, we have quite a bit of question marks. One of those linebackers that didn't play so well last year was moved down. He's going to be starting at defensive end, and Zach McLeod. And then we have Jafari Harvey on the other end that's going to be starting. They don't have a lot of size at all. I'm concerned if they can kind of set the edge, in the run game. And then we also have DeAndre Johnson, who's a transfer from Tennessee. He was kind of playing that 3-4 outside linebacker. He's going to have his hand in the dirt for us. But, there's not a lot of production, out of those guys, one to transfer, one a former linebacker, and one a defensive end that, has flashed in his two previous seasons. He's an athletic guy, but it just we haven't seen it with him. But I think Jafari Harvey is the one that can probably surprise if someone's going to do it for us.
No, that's good. you know, again, in what I was able to look at, it looks like there's a lot of potential there. Just, bringing it together. And like you said, at the D tackle position, you guys are thick there and a lot of big bodies. Talk about the linebacker core. It looks like there's a push to get some more speed on the field.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm laughing because our linebacker play was just so terrible last year. And it's hard to explain. They were slow. They weren't instinctual. So what we're rolling with this year, so we play a 4-3, basically two true linebackers on the field. And then we have what we call a striker, which is kind of a big safety rover type position. I think Bama calls it this. Oh, no, that's Georgia, because it's Tyreek Stevenson. That's what I'm thinking of. He was playing kind of that role for them. But, yeah, so a middle linebacker is going to be Corey Flagg, second-year kid out of Texas. He played a little bit last year, not overly athletic, but very instinctual, very smart, kind of just one of those tackling machines or potentially tackling machines in the middle. And then over at weak side is Keontra Smith. So he's actually a converted striker. He's not very big. He's 215 pounds, but he can run. He's, you know, legit probably 4.5 speed. He's a physical guy, even though, you know, he's kind of on the lighter side for a linebacker. But the first play of the spring game for us, he chased down Jalen Knight and beat him on the edge and tackle. But any of our other linebackers, that would have been probably a 30-yard gain. So it's that the expectations are higher, although I don't think it'll be a strength of the team. I just think it'll be an improved unit. And especially with the defensive tackles, probably, you know, the strength of the defense that should take a little bit of pressure off them and allow them to, you know, really step up and help a running game or running defense that really struggled last year. You know, everyone kind of remembers the North Carolina game where they ran for about 8 billion yards. So one of the low points of last year. But, you know, our defensive coordinator was Blake Baker. He's now the linebacker coach at LSU, and Manny Diaz is taking over defensive play calling. So when he was the defensive coordinator, you know, this unit, he's always had good units, sometimes, you know, in the elite range. So we're hoping to kind of get back to that, having, you know, one of the better defenses in college football.
I was going to ask about that striker position. Amari Carter is manning that position, at least in the starting lineup. He's a converted strong safety, and he's one of your lighter linebackers. And in fact, he and Frierson, the number two there, are the two of your lighter linebackers. I was going to ask how you deployed it. You said something of a rover position. Is that, you know, more in coverage? Do they blitz? Like how do you see that position? What should we look for out of Carter at that striker position?
They'll do a little bit of everything. Carter, yeah, this role was kind of built for him. He's been playing safety for us pretty much out of position, in my opinion. But we just needed, you know, the bodies there. And you'll even see, you know, packages with two strikers on the field. You know, Frierson's been one of our most consistent defenders the last couple of years. So I was surprised to see him not starting when I saw the depth chart today. But I fully expect him and Carter to, you know, pretty much be 50-50 in terms of those reps, if not, you know, having both of them on the same field at the same time. But you'll see them lined up in a kind of a traditional linebacker spot. Yep. You'll see them lined up in the slot. You know, depending on the formation, you may even see them, you know, drop into a deep safety role. And Manny Diaz likes to blitz, so you'll see them coming off the edge and, you know, blitzing inside with the defensive tackle, you know, doing a stunt to the outside. So you'll see a little bit of everything from them. But, you know, I think Carter's really going to excel in that role. And, you know, Frierson's played very well, you know, the last 2 years as a starter there.
No, that's good. I like the speed and versatility on the field. Alabama plays 3-4, but one of the outside linebackers is, we call it a jack linebacker. And depending upon who's manning that position, that'll be a walk-up defensive end. You know, we'll walk back into coverage. We'll you know, play more of a straight-up traditional run fit. So we try to use that position and get a little variable there at a linebacker. A linebacker spot as well. Talk to me about the secondary. The secondary, I think, is really the jewel of the Miami defense. And I know we want to talk about one of your safeties, but walk us through a couple of the cornerbacks and a couple of the safeties. What do you think about the secondary?
Yeah. So, you know, the cornerback room, you know, we had Tyreek Stevenson, who I mentioned earlier, transfer in Georgia. You know, he slimmed down. He wants to be on the outside as a corner. That's where he's going to play. So him, you know, the other corner is DJ Ivy. Whereas all the physical tools, he's been really inconsistent. The last few years, we have a new defensive backs coach in Travaris Robinson, who spent some time all throughout the SEC, most recently at South Carolina, where he helped produce J.C. Horn, who was the first cornerback taken. So we have high hopes that the secondary is really going to elevate their game. And then kind of as a second, or I refer to him as our slot corner, even though he's going to play on the outside as well, to Corey Couch. He's small, but he's really sticky and aggressive and kind of that typical South Florida defensive back. He'll get in your face. He's physical. He's a really fun player to watch. And then kind of moving over to safety, the big one's Bubba Bolden, transfer from USC a few years ago. The first four games last year, he looked like one of the best safeties in the country. He was everywhere. I think he was a borderline five-star at US when he got to USC, but he looked every bit of it. And then I'm not sure what happened, if it was maybe an injury that we didn't know about or something. He just wasn't playing as fast and aggressive as he was earlier in the year. Still a good player, but just wasn't, I was like, oh, we might have an All-American here. So that's the hope for him, is to get back to being that, that monster back there, the do-it-all guy. And then next to him is Gervin Hall. He's been starting the last few years. Average player, won't really stand out. He won't, get beat, but he really won't make any eye-popping plays. And then Avante Williams, who probably isn't going to be playing this Saturday. He was dismissed from the program last month for, domestic violence. The charges were dropped and he has since been reinstated. But he's, down the road. I expect him to be a starter. He missed all fall camp, so he's way, way behind. But he was one of those guys I was like, this guy could play at Alabama. Like, he was the kind of that high level recruit. I think he was the number one or number two safety in the country for his class. So that was a big loss, because I thought he was going to be an upgrade over Gervin Hall, but things happen. But
right.
The secondary, I think we're going to be a lot more aggressive in terms of, on the outside with the corners, allowing them to finally play press man. Last year, Baker had them doing a lot of just bailing and they weren't disrupting the wide receivers and it was just a lot of easy completions. But I expect us to be more aggressive and, challenge the receivers and the quarterback to throw into tackles, than what we've seen in the past.
With the three starting caliber corners, and you mentioned what is it, Takori as the slot. Do you see a lot of nickel in the Kane secondary?
Yeah, they're going to throw a lot. Diaz is going to throw a lot of different packages. You might see three safeties on the field. You might see two strikers. Three corners. But I think, if we're going to have the kind of the true slot corner out there, it's going to be Couch. We're kind of in nickel a lot anyway, but we just slide the striker out. So there's a lot of kind of chess pieces that Diaz likes to play with. And I think he's going to, be creative. He's going to kind of throw the kitchen sink at Bryce Young and hope to confuse him, get some pressure, force some mistakes, because that's what defense is. You have to force mistakes right now. The spread offense is, you're not being able to just sit back and, stop an offense anymore, especially one, as talented as Alabama.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I just want to underscore, and it's interesting how you said it was almost a tale of two seasons for Bolden. But I want to underscore to Alabama fans, keep an eye out on 21. He's just a stuffer in terms of stats. He was Miami's leading tackler last year, 6.5 TFLs. He had a sack. He had an interception. He had 4 forced fumbles. He's all over the place. And then to hear that he did most of his dirty work early in the season and had some taper off, I agree. You do have an All-America on your hand if he's able to maintain the pace. I don't know what these numbers would have projected to, but that's an impressive stat line as it is. If he's got more to give, he's going to be an interesting character to watch this season.
Yeah, and the one interesting thing about Manny Diaz's defense is the leading tackler is usually, or it's always been, a safety. And right. There might be one year that might be off, but usually it's a safety. So the safety is probably the most important part in his scheme, because they're asked to do so much in terms of not just coverage, but the run fits and coming up to make tackles. So when Miami gets good safety play, you know, Diaz's defense is usually clicking.
Yeah. That's going to be fun to watch because you have a good one. So we'll see how that plays out. Well, clean up anything I've left off either side of the ball. What's a storyline, a player, a question, something that you're excited to track as the season kicks off?
Yeah, I think, you know, Miami's offense just as a whole, you know, we're in the second year of Rhett Lashley and his offense. So he's had a full off season to pretty much implement everything. We only got a few spring practices in last year before COVID canceled that. And it was just, you know, such a weird year last year. Yeah. So I'm really expecting, you know, the offense to be, you know, creative and diverse and, you know, more explosive, but also more efficient. We were really dependent on the big plays last year, whether it was, you know, De'Aaron King scrambling or, you know, Cam Harris breaking one loose. So I expect this offense to take a pretty big jump. You know, we were in the 90s in 2019. He got us up into, you know, I think the high 30s. So I want us to be a top 20 offense.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, realistic for what we have coming back. And then one position to keep an eye on for Miami is kicker. So we graduated Jose Borregales, you know, who was phenomenal last year. And when you turn on the game on Saturday, you're going to hear Borregales again. It's actually his younger brother is a true freshman. You know, one of the most impressive, probably true freshman kickers in the country. By all accounts, he's more developed than his brother was at the same stage. So expectations are high for him, but we're going to be rolling out a true kicker attempting his first field goal in college against right. Alabama on national TV. So that's something to keep an eye on, you know, special teams, you know, especially, you know, early in the season where a lot can happen if the game comes down to a field goal. Yeah. You never know. That's something, you know, to keep an eye on as well.
Absolutely. Wait, I'll get you out of here on an easy one. Maybe, I don't know. Who's your favorite Cane of all time?
We have such a storied tradition.
Right.
And I'm looking at the jerseys I have on my wall. And, you know, Sean Taylor is up. It's got to be Sean Taylor. He was such a fun player to watch. Just a freak athlete, but so instinctual. And I think that's kind of a part of his game that gets overlooked. He was super smart on the field, you know, just reading defenses, you know, cutting across the field because he knew where the ball was going. And, you know, even as I'm getting ready for the year, for the season, you know, I always turn on Sean Taylor highlights. They never get old. They're something amazing. And I think, you know, even he didn't attend Alabama, but I think football fans just in general would appreciate, you know, what he did at the college level.
Right. Well, I was going to say my favorite Miami player is Lamar Thomas, but I don't want to do you dirty that way.
Okay.
Right, that's not fair. That's below the belt. I understand. I think straight up, there are so many, and there's been different eras where Miami has really been successful. I think my straight up favorite Hurricane is Willis McGahee. Although he turned me, I think I turned green when I saw his knee injury. But nonetheless, when he was healthy and full go, boy, he was something else to watch.
Yeah, he was. I feel like he was on Adrian Peterson's level in that 2002 yes. season he had.
Yes. Yes.
He was big. He was fast. He, you know, he had it all. You know, a couple sweet painful moments you brought up Lamar Thomas, but you know, that,
sorry.
That was one of the greatest plays, you know, I have seen by George Teague. So credit where credit's due. But that, you know, that 2003 Fiesta Bowl, which is the 2002 national championship.
Yeah.
That was the worst. You know, he gets hurt and then Miami gets screwed on a pass interference call. And I got nothing on that one. Painful memories.
Painful memories. I wasn't going for that on the second one, but at any rate, hey, it's going to be a great game Saturday. I appreciate you coming on, talking a little bit about the Hurricanes. I know I learned a lot talking to you, and I know our listeners have as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. You know, football season's here. I'm excited. I'm excited to, you know, watch the game, but you know, I always follow Bama from a distance. So outside of Saturday, I wish you guys the best of luck and make sure when you guys face Florida, you beat them by 50.
Back at you. Back at you. I definitely will be watching you guys. We definitely want to do that to Florida, and I'll be watching you guys, especially I feel like I know you a lot more now than I did even just a couple of days ago. So good luck on Saturday, and good luck this season.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, Alabama fan. So that was my interview with Bill. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Really good, again, conversation. We're going to try to do these each week as we can. Finding some of these podcasts and these sites are a little challenging and scheduling them, but we're going to give it a go. And if you have a favorite one that you would like for us to interview, or if you have a connection that can help us do that, then absolutely give that a go. I'm also going to use this opportunity to plug the membership program, and I'm going to tell you a really cool thing that we did on the membership program. What I am recording here is going to go to our producer, and it's going to edit, and it's going to take a couple of days between the Monday interview and when this posts on the website. But you know what's happening Monday night? Monday night, the full recording, the raw recording with the intros and the outros and the conversation with Bill is releasing to our premium site. And so if you're a member and you get our premium podcast feed, then you'll have an opportunity not only to listen to it early, but you'll get to hear some of the shop talk before and after. Which is interesting because we had some good. He had a number of questions about Alabama that we talked about afterward, and again, it was just a really good conversation. And you'll have insight to that if you're a member of our support team and downloading the private feed. If you have any questions about that, don't hesitate to email me at alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com or go to the website, alabamafootballpodcast.com. Spoiler alert, if you email me, this is what I'm going to ask you to do, is to go to the website because there's a sign-up page. So alabamafootballpodcast.com, sort of the sticky article just below sort of the headline talks about the member support program. There's a big sort of support your podcast banner that you can tick on that as well. And both of those will take you to the sign-up page. And it's silly, simple, inexpensive. It's $2 a month during the season, or you can do the full year for 12, 18 bucks. I can't do math. So 18 bucks, so you get a couple of months free there. So definitely worth checking out, especially if you're want to hear these interviews in their fullness and potentially even a couple of days early every time. All right, with that, this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course, Roll Tide.